keep you awake tonight. I will not try to bore you. But I want to start off with a joke. All right? There were two old boys from Alabama that were brothers. That's Lower Alabama, by the way, and not Los Angeles. They were from Lower L.A. And they heard that in Smyrna, Tennessee, you could make $15 an hour building Nissan pick'em up trucks. And they had never made more than $7.50 an hour plucking chickens for Tyson's food. So they loaded up their pickup truck and went up to Smyrna, Tennessee, and went through a battery of tests and were told they had done really well. The older brother, Justin, they were told, would had to go into one more interview, and if he did well, he'd get a job. Justin goes into the interview, and the company psychiatrist says, "Justin, I take my finger and poke you in your left eye. What will you be?" He said, "Well, Doc, I reckon I'll be half blind." He said, "Justin, if I take my finger and poke you in both of your eyes, what will you be?" He said, "Doc, I'll be full blind." He said, "Justin, those are good answers. You get a job." Justin walks outside, finds his younger brother Ed, and says, "The answers are half blind and full blind, and you get a job." Ed goes in and sets down, and the company psychiatrist says, "I take out my pocket knife, Ed, and I cut off your left ear. What will you be?" He said, "Doc, I'll be half blind, I reckon." He said, "Wait a minute, Ed. If I take out my pocket knife and cut off both of your ears, what will you be?" He said, "Doc, I reckon I'll be full blind." He said, "Ed, how can you reckon you're going to be full blind if I cut off your ears?" He says, "It's simple, Doc. My hat will fall down over my eyes." Now, I had to follow David. Now, just think. Everybody gets excited when there's music being played, don't we? I mean, we really like to praise the Lord. But tonight I want to talk to you about three chairs. Everybody remembers Monty Hall, don't you? Monty Hall used to come out and say, "Let's make a deal." And at the end of the program, he would come out and there would be one contestant left and they would have three doors. And they would have a good gift, a better gift, and the best gift. And they were lucky, maybe they would win the best gift. Well, tonight I want you to think about three spiritual chairs. I want you to think about those three spiritual chairs that were written by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and following. We're going to read that tonight. And when we read it, I'm going to try to help express it in an understanding way. As we read from God's Word, from verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which are man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Shall we pray? Father God, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word tonight, and help hide your servant, O Lord, behind the cross, that he might indeed show others the love of Christ and how Christ saves us by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Chair one, it's on my left side. Chair one is the natural man. The natural man sits in this chair. And I want you to know that everybody in this room, in this building, has sat in this chair. Some may still be in this chair. They haven't decided to follow Christ. They have the wisdom of the world. And they're always looking for something that is missing. Something in their life that's missing. And they can't seem to find it. And Paul was writing about that. He was saying there's a spirit of the world that comes from a natural man. But there's also the spirit of God, which is divine, which surpasses man's wisdom and understanding. He expresses these things he shared in word and letter come from exact the Holy Spirit himself. Natural man, the truths of God mean nothing to him or her because they haven't had the spiritual insight to understand them. He hears the word of God and discounts it as foolishness. He has a filtration system on his life that says, I don't want God. I want to do it my way, is what he's saying, you see. They're driven by the things of the world. They try science and math and hard work, and yet never seem to find that elusive thing called peace, that elusive thing called happiness, that elusive thing called calmness. And with each new achievement, there is a feeling that something is missing in their lives, you see. Beautifully and efficiently designed to assist in work, they're like a battery-operated drill. When you take the battery out, it's wonderfully made, but it can't do a lick of things. It can't get anything accomplished. It has to have that battery installed. Something is missing in the natural person's life. They keep seeking to find the answer in science and math and hard work, yet never reach nor obtain the answer. They may belong to numerous organizations and clubs, but still, there's something missing. Wouldn't you really like to change chairs? Into a life of the natural man comes a witness, you see, from a grandparent or parent, a stranger, a friend, a co-worker, a loved one who shares a few scriptures and plants a few seeds. Those seeds fall on deaf ears, yet others come into their lives and they share a witness about how great what God has been in their life and what Jesus has meant to them. And slowly but surely they begin to hear the scriptures again. They hear a plan of salvation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They hear Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or John 3:3, in reply Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Born from on high by the Spirit of God. The seeker God is always seeking to call people into his kingdom, to forgive their sins and give them a right stead so that they might come to heaven when they die. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. That's solemn. I mean, you can't get there any other way. There's not a hedgerow you can crawl over. There's not a vine you can crawl up. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We know that our Lord loves us, you see. But he reminds us in the writings of Paul in Romans 10:9-11, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The Lord has never, never put me to shame. He's come along and spanked me sometimes. Amen. Because I've been on the wrong path once or twice. Maybe more than that. But the reality is, God wants us to be on his side and continue to do the good things. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The natural man becomes convicted. He becomes convicted. He prays a sinner's prayer, something like this. God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin and my sin of unbelief in Christ Jesus, your Son. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and increase my faith in your Son, Jesus. I ask Jesus to come into my life and become Lord of my life from this day forward and to take me to heaven when I die. I shall confess my faith in Christ Jesus before others and serve others in building of his kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And just like that, you're changing chairs. You go from the spirit, from the natural chair to indeed the carnal Christian or the worldly Christian. We all get in this chair, and we like it because we have the blessed assurance that we are saved, always saved. Amen? Yeah. But still, somehow, there's some things that we still got. I tell people we're like Siamese twins. There is the natural man, and then there is the spiritual man. And the two are having a combat. They're wrestling with one another. Sometimes a natural man doesn't want to let the spiritual man grow. He wants him to die. He wants him to become weaker because he wants to run the world by himself, you see. But indeed, he does this, and immediately he changes. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. He seals us with the earnest money that says we are one of his adopted children. Under Jewish law, an adopted child cannot be disinherited, by the way. So if you belong to God, you are God's child. And you have an inheritance that he's preparing for us, you see. We now say that after changing these chairs, we need to understand that when we're in this chair, we can never go back to the natural chair. For God won't let us get there. He wants to keep us. But he would really encourage us to move to chair three, the spiritual chair. But we sometimes wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities unseen, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ may indeed occupy that chair. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as to worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it." Worldly means we still have a carnal mind. We still think carnally. Well, you know, I'd be so happy if I get a house. Until one day you wake up and you owe more on your house than it's worth. You want a new car and you really like it. Until the new car payments keep coming and the new car smell is gone. Amen? All right. We know that carnal means that it's ceremonial. It's about the outside. It's about the laws, the Mosaic laws. It's about what we do and don't do, you see. The bodies of men and animals is what it's all about, and purification of the flesh. The person on chair two is self with its ego. We sometimes believe that once we are saved, we're done. That's it, you see. That is it. Like the country western song, we might go fishing, get a new tattoo, take my old Harley on a three-day cruise. It may sound funny, but I just got saved. Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm amazed sometimes at some of the modern churches, and perhaps you are too, when you see the leaders of the church imbibing in various drinks rather than trying to live a life of purity. They seem to endorse the world sometimes. We struggle with that. Once you're saved, it's not over. That's not all there is, you see. You are babes in Christ. You must learn the Bible, learn of God, learn of Jesus, learn of the work of the Holy Spirit, learn to put on the spiritual armor of God, understand the battle plan of God, learn of his power, lean on his power, and trust in his power every day. Some people get saved and then rest on their blessed assurance and never grow beyond this babe in Christ stage. They see not the battle for our children and our grandchildren, being waged on by the enemy on the television screen, the movie screen, and definitely in the classrooms of America. They don't see the need to teach them to pray, to read the Bible, and trust God. They forget to live their faith in front of their children and grandchildren. They fail to run the race to the end. In our day, we have seen church splits, denominational splits, conservative and evangelical splits, movements away from the Word of God into a non-offensive message, a move to prosperity preaching rather than the gospel preaching in service to others. It's not true at this church. A college man walked into a photograph studio with a picture of his girlfriend. He said, "I would like for you to take it out of the frame and reproduce it for me. I'd like a copy." The gentleman who owned the photography shop took it out of its frame and he noticed on the back that it was endorsed. "Bill, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more every day. And I shall love you till forever and ever." signed Diane with a P.S. Oh, by the way, if we break up, I want my photo back. You see, I want you to know that we who have been baptized and professed our love of God and for others, we belong to Christ. There is no P.S. In our life given to Christ, we can never break up with Him. We are His. We belong to Him forever. That is called security of the believer, isn't it? Amen. And that when we go along and we come to John 4, 1 John 4, 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. What great power we have that sometimes we forget belongs to us, is given to us. Wouldn't you really like to change chairs? You come so close to spiritual insight and growth and become afraid and withdraw to a pleasing self rather than God. I must confess that whenever I was 13 years old, I felt God was calling me into the ministry. And for 17 years, I ran. And at Little Rock Air Force Base, at 155 Kentucky Circle, I got on my knees and I asked Him to take me back. I said, Lord, I'll go wherever You send me. Because, see, I was afraid He'd send me somewhere far away from Texas. All I can tell you is I left Little Rock Air Force Base on my way to Alaska. By the way, I spent 26 winters there. I taught Sunday school and I preached and led congregations of smaller churches for over 13 years of that 26. Taught for 13 of those years before I began to preach. And God blessed everywhere I went. Amen. Amen. But I was afraid He was going to send me someplace far away. God has a great sense of humor. I want you to know that. Yes, sir. Yes, He does. Yet others continue and mature in the faith and move into chair three. They die to self so that Christ may more abound in their lives. In chair three, 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, the spiritual man makes judgments about things, but he himself is not judged to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We are spiritual, a quality of being spiritual as opposed to material. References to the disposition of the internal condition of men when in such a state as it prepares them to recognize and properly appreciate spiritual realities. True spirituality is, in the last sense, is the result of the in-working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. That God did indeed entrust people in chair three with responsibilities. The person on the throne in chair three is the Holy Spirit or Christ's Spirit. We have moved ourselves out of the throne and placed the Holy Spirit or Jesus in charge of our lives. Move beyond the sitter to the doer for Christ. We have become His hands and His feet to serve others. We have become His voice, His eyes and ears. We sound forth the Word of God. We observe His work in our midst and hear and heed His voice. People in chair three understand it's not about them. It's about Him who saved us and can save others. Our life is not viewed in days or weeks or months or years, but in eternity. You realize we're going to have to put up with each other for eternity? I mean, isn't that wonderful? In some cases, it might be just right, downright frightening, isn't it? It's not an individual ministries, but indeed by themselves is letting go and letting God get the glory. Not what I am today, but what I'll be in 3 or 5 or 10 years, good Lord willing, that what we will be, those are years down the road. It is the lives I touch and enlarge for Christ that counts. It's a life filled with prayer, study, and celebration and opportunities to serve the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are people that have been in chair three or people like Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, Billy Graham, and Valera Sherrod of Corinth, Mississippi. You see, Miss Valera came to Anchorage, Alaska in 1951. The first Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church, was founded in Anchorage in 1951. She came as a summer missionary. She would come back in 1952. She was called there by God in the Anchorage area. Her brief experience with Alaska Native peoples led her to return to Alaska after graduating without any missionary support. Her faith was such that she believed that God had called her to meet the spiritual needs of Alaska Natives peoples. Known as the walking missionary, because you see, she didn't own a car. Worse yet, she didn't even know how to drive. But she would walk everywhere she went. But she was winning the hearts of the Native people, you see. Her faith was such that she believed that God had called her there and He would meet her needs while she was there. Single, she could not be appointed as a missionary at the time in Alaska. Her servitude would lead her to take on the Kobuk mission. And if you've ever been to a lonely place, Kobuk is one of those. When the generator goes out at the power plant, you don't have any electricity. And if it's winter, they can't come and get you some electricity because they can't land because they can't see the runway. But you see, at the time that she went there, they were burning coal oil lamps and wood for staying warm. Her work almost led to her death when she became ill, but God always, you see, provided on that special day like He does for other Christians, a visitor to come to Kobuk to see her. Landed with the airplane, walked over there, found her unconscious, loaded her up, took her to the hospital in Fairbanks, and she recovered, you see. That Valero, indeed, she would recover and continue her work with the Native peoples until 1997, when health issues would force her to retire. Valera was called home to be with the Lord on March the 17th, 2007. She was a great lady. But she never lost her love for Jesus or her love for the Native peoples of Alaska. Not only are the people who are seated in chair three spiritual, they are content. They know that they are serving a loving God who's in the business of divine appointments. Is your life filled with the wonders of God? I hope it is. I hope that you know the thrill of experiencing divine appointments in your life. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. That means that the impossible becomes possible when God is involved in what we're doing, you see. People of chair three are able to say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God's people of chair three are ordinary people who have placed God first in their lives. Should He ask of them to teach, they teach. Should He ask of them to sing, they will sing. Should He ask of them to work in the nursery, they serve in the nursery. Should He ask them to speak to strangers of their faith, they witness of what Jesus has done in their lives. These ordinary people have done extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. You know, Henry Blackaby spent some time in Western Canada. He spoke about traveling. He was to travel 200 plus miles, and if you've never been in Canada or Alaska, sometimes it's a pretty good distance between towns of any size. And as he was traveling there, it was going to take him 4 hours to get there and 4 hours to get back. And he knew that when he got there, there were only going to be 6 or 8 people that were going to be there. And he says to the Lord, you know, wouldn't my 8 hours be better spent preparing my sermon for Sunday? And God answered, as only God knows how. When Henry got there, they were 8 people, and by the way, they were all women. And he asked the leader of the group, would you open us in prayer? And her first words were, thank you, Father God, for bringing our guests safely to us. We have prayed for this visit for over 6 months and are excited to see what God has given him to share with us. Amen. God has a great sense of humor. In our life, sometimes God does miraculous things, you see. Henry was floored by the prayer and God's faithfulness to answer the prayers through his visit. Once again, God's divine appointment had been met by God's chair 3 occupant. Wouldn't you really like to change chairs? In summary, it's time to make a deal, let's make a decision. Which chair are you in, and wouldn't you really like to change chairs? Chair 1 is the natural unbeliever, self-centered, large of ego, prone to sin, longing for truth but unable to arrive at it, missing the essential element in his life, that of the love of God. Run from that love of God that they do, and he really wants them to come home. I ask you today to decide to follow Jesus and change chairs. Let this be the day of your salvation and the receiving of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. It is a good day to change chairs, you see. Chair 2 is a worldly Christian. He's allowed self and ego to take over the throne, operating life in the flesh and not in the spirit. He's hindering the Spirit of God as it tries to work in his life and the life of the church. They look and act just like the unsaved of the world. It comes at only a little sin until it takes over the entire person. I could tell you about Bron Clifford and Charles Templeton, who were one time considered great evangelists who fell by the wayside because of sin. We can think of Jim Baker and others that were in that same boat, you see. God wants that individual to confess their sins and to be made right for the service in the kingdom. We often call it rededication. I call mine rededication when I came back to the Lord. You see, recommitment, making things right with Jesus. Today is a good day to get right with the Lord and change chairs. Chair 3, the spiritual Christian. You're mature or maturing in Christ. You're discovering your spiritual gifts and using them for the kingdom of God. They are proactive in church. They are proactive in attendance, proactive in witnessing, proactive in serving, proactive in giving, proactive in expecting miracles. How many in here have seen miracles take place in their life? Most of us would admit that we're saved is a miracle. Amen. When I got off the floor at 155 Kentucky, the first person I called was my mom. She was weeping. You make your parents and grandparents happy when you get right with the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, let me see if I can find where I was. Divine appointments are kind of like Roy Wall, who used to run the Red Cross in Anchorage, Alaska. He used to say, today is a great day to serve the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, my Lord. What a great day. The invitation is, if you're here today and have made a decision to change chairs, I would encourage you to share it with someone who can pray for you and encourage you in your chair swap. If you're making a decision to follow Christ for the first time, the altar call is about to take place. Come forward on the first words, you see, of our invitation. Him and Pastor J.K. will meet you down front. We'll meet with you and pray with you about making Jesus Lord of your life. Or you can simply pray right where you're at, confessing your sins and asking Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord of your life, take you to heaven when you die. If you're making a decision to rededicate your life to serving God, Pastor J.K. would be happy to pray with you. We'd all be happy to pray that it would continue well into the future, too. If you would like to come forward and pray for yourself or with one of the church leaders, feel free to do so at this time. The altar is coming open and God is leading. Shall we pray before we sing the invitational hymn? Father God, we have broken the bread of life, your word. We ask, O God, that you would indeed use it for your glory, that you might reach those who need to be reached, that decisions might be made that would glorify my Lord Jesus in a powerful way, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Did you turn this on for me, right?
It's on. Before we sing, normally our invitations focus on moving from the natural man into the carnal man, getting saved, escaping hell, going to heaven. But you know, often we're a little light on talking about moving from the second chair to the third chair. And on Wednesday night, most folks that are here have made that first chair move. We're saved. We know we're going to heaven.